But you shouldn't be, Lacey protested. Perhaps you were right at that. We can't give you much more without danger of collapse. But you've got to be unconscious. Isn't there some way in which you could be made so? Yes, there is, but why do I have to be unconscious? He asked curiously. To avoid mental shock. Seriously damaging, the surgeon explained. In your case, particularly the mental aspect is graver than the purely physical one. Maybe you're right, but you can't do it with drugs. Call Worsell. He's done it before. He had me unconscious most of the way over here, except when he had to give me a drink or something to eat. He's the only man this side of Aresia who can operate on my mind. And so Worsell came. Sleep, my friend, he commanded, gently but firmly. Sleep profoundly, body and mind, with no physical or mental sensations, no consciousness, no perception even of the passage of time. Sleep so until someone having authority to do so bids you awaken. And Kinnison slept, so deeply that even Lacey's probing lens could elicit no response. He will stay that way? Lacey asked in awe.
Yes. For how long? Indefinitely. Until one of your doctors or nurses tells him to wake up, or until he dies for lack of food or water.
He'll get nourishment. It would make a much better recovery if we could keep him in that state until his injuries are almost healed. Would that hurt him?
Not at all.
Then the surgeons and the nurses went to work. Since it has already been made amply plain what had to be done to the Grey Lensman, no good end is to be served by following in revolting detail the stark hideousness of its actual doing. Suffice it to say, then, that Lacey was not guilty of exaggeration when he described Kinnison as being a mess. He was. The job was long and hard. It was heartbreaking even for those to whom Kinnison was merely another case, not a beloved personality. What they had to do, they did. And the white marble chief nurse carried on through every soul-wrenching second, through every shocking, searing motion of it. She did her part stoically, unflinchingly, as efficiently as if the patient upon the table were a total stranger undergoing a simple appendectomy and not the one man in her entire universe undergoing radical dismemberment. Nor did she faint, then. 3 or 4 of the girls fainted dead away, and a couple of the interns turned sort of green around the gills, she explained to your historian in reply to a direct question. She can bring herself to discuss the thing now that it is so happily past, although she does not like to do so.